नत्वाहं जातु नासं नत्वं मे मे जनाधिपा न चैव न भविष्यामः सर्वे वयमता परम् नत्वाहं जातु नासं नत्वं मे मे जनाधिपा न चैव न भविष्यामः सर्वे वयमता परम् नत्वाहं जातु नासं नत्वं मे मे जनाधिपा न चैव न भविष्यामः सर्वे वयमता परम्
So now we will see the word-to-word meaning. Na, never. Tu, but. Eva, certainly. Aham, I. Jatu, at any time. Na, did not. Asam, exist. Na. Not, tvam, you, na, not, ine, all these, janadipa, kings, na, never, cha, also, eva, suddenly, na, not, bhavishyama, shall exist, Sarve vayam, all of us, ata param, hereafter. Translation by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. Nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So this is the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This chapter is entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. So it's a quite lengthy purport. We should just see the main points, and of course all of the purport will be covered in the course of our discussion. So please repeat the translation. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future, shall any of us cease to be. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaurabhaktavranda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So here Sri Krishna is saying to Arjun that, O Arjun, never was a time when I was not there, you were not there, and all these kings who are assembled in front of us, they were not there. Such a time did not exist in the past. Now, we can see all of us. Similarly, in the future also, we are all to be existing. So that means eternity or existence
is a quality which Krishna is emphasizing for himself, for Arjun, and for all the kings assembled there. So as we see, basically in India, matters regarding the soul are very much in a confused state. We don't know exactly what a soul is. Plus, majority of the philosophers, majority of the transcendentalists who are supposedly practicing their art or trade, they are of the opinion that the soul is one homogeneous entity and it is just reflected in various individuals. So a very, very popular example, in fact all over India and now practically most of the world also, this kind of philosophy that actually everything is one. And the most popular example given is, if you put water in a round pot, the water assumes a round shape. If the water is put in a square utensil, the water appears square. If it is put in a hexagonal utensil, it appears hexagonal. Any container you put, water just assumes that different shape. What happens when you put all these different quantities of water in one big utensil? Will the square, the water on the square pot be visible there? That this is the water from the square pot, this is the water from the round pot? No. It all becomes one another huge mass of water. Similarly, in this conditioned state, the soul appears to be individual. You appear to be having this kind of body, that kind of body, this kind of temperament, everything is all different. But ultimately, everything is one. Or, another very famous example is, just like drops of water, when they fall in the sea, they no more remain drops, they become the sea. So we see so many saints, so many sages, so many speakers from the Bhagavad Gita, they are announced as, they have become Brahmalin, or become one with the Supreme. Now this is a very, very dangerous idea. In fact, it is nothing but spiritual suicide. Nothing less than that. Because we never become one. Krishna, in this verse, he stresses it so much, he stresses it in the future also. He says to Arjun, my dear Arjun, there was never a time when I, Sri Krishna, was not Sri Krishna. I was there, you also were there, these kings also were there. This is in the past. Now, in this setting of the battlefield, we are all here as individuals. So, in the future, we will also remain as individuals. We never become all one. Now, someone may say, we become one. Someone may say, we don't become one. As simple people, those who are interested in understanding the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita, whom should we accept? Just like there are some religions which so-called promote or give some sanction to animal slaughter, some religions they say don't do animal slaughter. So whom are we to accept? Everybody, nowadays everyone who is doing whatever he does, he says he has the sanction of God or he has the sanction of scripture. Therefore it is said, dharmasya tattva nihita guhayam. Actually, the tenets or the principles of religion actually are very, very difficult to understand. And if you say, oh, I will take the help of this person, he is a very great thinker, he has a fantastic brain. The scripture say, nasav rishir yasya matam na bhinnam. Somebody cannot qualify as a rishi or a muni unless he differs from somebody else. So, if some very outstanding personality from this group says something, in order for me to be accepted as a muni, I'll just say, I don't agree with what you say. I have my own opinion. So, unless you differ from somebody, you are not qualified as a muni. So, as many munis are there, you have as many philosophies. So, what a common person is supposed to do? The scriptures say, Mahajana yena gatasa pantha. You just follow the way the great souls, the authorities on the subject, how they have done, how they have followed. In fact, if you follow an authority, he may be any authority, if he follows him perfectly, he will attain ultimate perfection. So, if somebody says, I don't believe in Bhagavad Gita, I follow Hazrat Muhammad, if he follows him perfectly, he will also attain. If someone says, I follow Lord Jesus Christ, he will also attain the same thing. And if one follows Bhagavad Gita to the point as it is, he also will achieve the ultimate perfection. So actually we can see, in the past everybody is individual. About 300-400 years ago, it was not that the world, it was all one. There were many individuals. Now we see so many individuals. So we have every reason to say that in the future also there will be many individuals. For example, someone of you who may be born before 1940 or 1940 maybe, he can say, in the month of May, in 1956, it was very hot. In the month of May, in 1976, it was very hot. In the month of May, in 1986, it was very hot. So, my proposition is, in the month of May, in 1996, it will be very hot. Now, this is perfectly acceptable. He is saying that in the month of May, in all its different time periods, I have found that the climate is very hot. Similarly, I am making this proposition that in the future also, it will be the same. So, in the past it is accepted, in the present it is accepted, why not in the future? Therefore, unless we follow Mahajan, we cannot really understand the intricacies of the perfect path, the path of yoga. So actually there is no need of interpretation. People say that this Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, this is also an interpretation. But actually it is not interpretation. Prabhupada says, this is Bhagavad Gita as it is. We find in the market, this is a new interpretation of the Old Testament, of the New Testament, or a new interpretation of the old words of God. So, Prabhupada used to say, actually, why is interpretation needed? Interpretation is needed when something is not clear. If you ask somebody, I have to go to that village, can you tell me where that village is? And if you get the answer, oh, that village is on the sea. So you may be confused. Village? How can a village be on the sea? So then you are given further explanation. My dear sir, the meaning of the statement is, this village just lies very close to the sea, or the sea is on the border of this village. So because there is some ambiguity, because there is some vagueness in this statement, you are given an interpretation. But when Krishna says here, aham, na tu aham, I myself, na tvam, neither you, nor you, and na ime janadipa, ime is all these, not all these kings. So he is stressing very much, we are all individuals. You are individual, I am individual, these kings are individual. So, what is the big point? The central point is, Krishna as an individual and Arjuna as an individual, what is the difference or common thing between them? The Upanishads say, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidudati Kaman. If you want to know who God is just like you. Nityo Nityanam, you are eternal. Similarly, God also is eternal. There is no difference between that point. Perfectly all right. But the major difference is one eternal amongst these eternals is the chief eternal. He is the head. He is the chief executive. He is the president. Whatever you call him. He is the chief among all of you. What makes him the chief? Eko yo bahunam vidadati kaman. He supplies everything what you need. You don't supply anything what he needs. You just take from him. That is the biggest difference. You cannot manufacture anything what you need. You have to always depend on him. So, the question arises, if Krishna is God, and he says he is individual, Arjun as his part and parcel is also individual, the kings, they are also Krishna's parts and parcels, they are also individuals. Why did God become so many? Why did God expand himself? The answer is, for enjoyment. This whole creation, or the eternal world, the spiritual world, which is not created, they are all meant for God's enjoyment. Anandamayo bhyasat. He is such an individual, he is such a person, who will never do anything which will not give him happiness, which will not give him joy. He has the perfect ability to extricate joy from anything what he does. That is a speciality. Therefore, he has made himself into individuals, small, small spiritual sparks, so that they can enjoy with him. And once they start their enjoyment, there is no difference who enjoys how much. The enjoyment is the same. If you participate in God's enjoyment, doesn't mean you lose something. You equally enjoy, although you retain the same size. You don't become God if you participate in the enjoyment. Therefore, the Vaishnava way of approaching God is always we retain our individuality. Never, never, never we want to become one with God. It is always a temptation. Suppose you are a servant. You are serving one very nice person. He is very rich man. Although you may think, I am actually as rich as this person, because he is eating the richest foods, and after him I eat the same thing. He sleeps in a very nice bed, but when he is away, I can also sleep in the same bed. He lives in one of the most fantastic buildings in the whole of Bombay city. I also stay in the same city. So why should I serve him? If I kill him, I can become the master. That's not a very good proposition. That doesn't show a very good service attitude. That's actually a crime. Similarly, the living entity, when he serves God, he actually enjoys on the level of God. There is no difference in enjoyment. Then he thinks, what if I become God? Then actually I can enjoy. This is a trap. Those who are in this material world, we have all fallen willingly into this trap, thinking, maybe others don't know the art, but if I do it, I can enjoy like God. So immediately when this desire is there, we are thrown into this material world. Okay, you wanted to enjoy? Let's see how you can enjoy. So therefore, enjoyment is always in a liberated platform. If a person who likes to watch cinema, if he is bound tightly to a chair, he will say that, okay, I can watch like this, but better if I am freed from this. I want to be free to do whatever I want. So therefore, there are five different kinds of liberations which are awarded. One is Sayujya Mukti. Sayujya means you become one with God. You merge into His personality. Then one is Sarishti. You enjoy similar opulence like that of God. Then there is Samipya. You remain very close to His personality, just like Arjun is very close to Krishna. Salokya Mukti. You get residence on the same planet that of God. Or Sarupya. You get personal bodily features like that of God. So, those who are on the path of bhakti yoga, they agree to four kinds of liberations. That is, sarashti, samipya, salokya and sarupya. But sayujya, never. Because in sayujya, you lose your individuality. You think, it is better that I become one with him, so I can enjoy like him. In fact, there is no difference between him and me. So there are people who meditate on this mantra, soham. Or they say, tat tvam asi, you are that. What is the meaning of you are that? You are that means, he is eternal. He is full of bliss. He is all knowledge. But his whole personality is like that. You are also similar in quality, but not similar in quantity. So therefore, this kind of liberation is actually not at all preferred. Prabhupada gives an example. A child is born. Usually, a man, the same example, a man feels alone. He thinks, I am alone, I really can't enjoy. So he seeks out a woman. A woman also is alone, she seeks out a man. When they both unite, it is supposed to be a pleasure for both of them. And then, when the child is born, they shower out the love on him. If the child, when he grows up, if he says, oh mother, this world is very bad, it's a very dangerous place, I want to go back where I came from, I want to go back in your belly, please take me. So she thinks, what an unfortunate situation, what an insane person this is. Similarly, God has made us for enjoyment. But if we come in this world, and because of our folly, because of our mistakes in not trying to understand what God really wants from us, if we say, the hell with this, I don't want to have any desires, no action, no desires, just a state of equilibrium, just a state of becoming one with the Supreme. So, an ordinary mother, she of course cannot take back her child to her belly. But Krishna can. If you want to merge in his personality, he can do it. But that's an insult. That is actually a very bad proposition. He has created you so that you can exercise your individuality and have blissful pastimes with him. So therefore, this kind of mukti or liberation is actually a not good proposition. But nowadays we find almost all the propounders of Vedas or everywhere it is taught, this is the goal of life. This kind of mukti, this kind of impersonal mukti. Actually, if someone doesn't follow the Vedas, if someone doesn't do any austerity, if someone doesn't do all that is required of him, in fact, even if somebody is a big demon, he gets the same result. It is shown actually that when Krishna was performing his pastimes, he helped the Pandavas become the rulers. In fact, Maharaj Yudhishthir was crowned the king of Hastinapur. So when Maharaj Yudhishthir was very glad to get his kingdom back, he thought, I should now perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. So immediately he arranged that the Rajasuya sacrifice be held. When that sacrifice was held, it was a grand event. Almost all the big sages, many, many illustrious sages, they were all invited, and a big ceremonial event was about to be arranged. In fact, Varuna, he had arranged a similar Rajasuya sacrifice, and in that, all the utensils were made of gold. So similarly, in this sacrifice also, it was proposed that we should use only golden utensils. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj saw that everyone, all the big sages were there. The sacrifice was about to start. They started by drinking the soma, the juice from the herb called soma. And then when the mantras were chanted, one big priest used to act as the referee. Chanting the mantras is not a very simple event. Everyone has to chant in a perfect meter. The pronunciation is to be perfect. There has to be no mistake. And an expert person, he just sees how each and everyone is chanting. Similarly, therefore, he has to act as a referee. Of course, in this age, such kind of chanting, such kind of Vedic yagyas is not possible. Therefore, the scriptures prescribe that because these sacrifices are not possible, such kind of very pious expert Brahmins are not available, there is only one Vedic mantra which is prescribed. That is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So therefore, as the sacrifice concluded, as the practice was, the whole honor of the sacrifice is to be given to one personality who is the chief amongst everybody present. That is called Agra Puja. Agra means a very eminent personality. He is to be given the benefit of the sacrifice first. That's a sign of great honor. So immediately there was discussion, who can be eligible for this Agra Puja? So everybody was thinking that maybe this person is very elevated, or that person is very honored, this person is very eminent. Then Sahadev, the twin brother of Nakula, the youngest of the Pandavas, he rose and he began to speak. Actually, he said, Krishna alone is worthy of being worshipable. He is actually the super soul. Just like in a body, the soul is the seat of all energy. Similarly, as the super soul, he is the seat of everything of this universe. He alone is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss in total. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is actually now enacting these pastimes just for the sake of giving bliss to his devotees. So, he alone should be given this honor of Agra Puja. At that time, there was a person called Shishupal. Immediately Shishupal, he got so angry that he stood up and he said, oh, this time factor is very, very powerful. He was lamenting. He said, what kind of time this is? No one knows who a great personality is. In fact, there are so many great sages, there are so many philosophers, so many speculators, so many big yogis present here. And everybody is just keeping mum. And this foolish young boy, he is saying that we have to worship Krishna. Why? Has everybody lost their senses? I don't know what's happening. We also say the same thing. Oh, what kind of time is this today? I don't know what will happen tomorrow. Similarly, at that time also Shishupal said, time is very bad, it seems. Time factor is very predominating. It has taken away everybody's intelligence. How can you say that Krishna alone is to be worshipped? In fact, this person is like a crow. He has no higher birth. He doesn't know where he actually resides. He has no caste. He doesn't follow any principles. He has no guidance. He thinks himself to be so big a personality. So in this way, Shishupal started to blaspheme. In fact, Shishupal had a grudge. Rukmini, who was a very beautiful princess of Vidarbha, she was about to marry to Shishupal. But Krishna, he came and he forcibly carried away Rukmini. So of course, Shishupal was a very injured person. He was hating Krishna like anything. So as he was voicing this very, very great blasphemies, some people they couldn't tolerate. They just covered their ears and they left. Some were very angry. The kings of the Kuru dynasty, the Matsya dynasty, the Kekaya dynasty, the Srinjaya dynasty, all those kings stood up. They drew their swords. They made their shields ready. They said, we'll fight, we'll kill this rascal. How can he say such things? There were some who tried to defend Shishupal. He also had some friends. And the funny thing was, when he saw that so many kings were coming against him, he also made his weapons ready. He also wanted to fight. He said, I'll see how much prowess anybody has. So as he was saying these things, actually what he said was not false. Krishna really doesn't have any caste. He is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can you make him come to fit into these caste backgrounds? He doesn't follow Vedic principles because he is the one who enunciates them. Vedanta Krit Vedavideva Chaham. Whatever he says is Vedic truth. So, as he was about to speak more and more, suddenly everybody saw Krishna. He stood. In his hand was the Sudarshan Chakra. He threw that disc weapon, the chakra, at Shishupal, and within a flash that disc came whizzing. It cut Shishupal's neck, and immediately a very blinding, brilliant light, it emerged from Shishupal's body and merged within Krishna's body. So the Bhagavad Purana says, Shishupal, by hating Krishna so much, intensely hating Krishna, he was actually always thinking of Krishna. He was Krishna conscious. But his Krishna conscious was based on hate. So he got, what did he achieve? Because he was killed in the very presence of Krishna, he got Sayujya Mukti. Now, if this is what you want, after reading the Bhagavad Gita, after following the Vedas, after everything, what is the use? In fact, someone, if he is trying to understand this Mayavad principle, this is called Mayavad. Mayavad means, actually Krishna's coming down here, he's enacting his pastimes, this is all Maya. This is Maya because everything actually is one, but everything is not. Krishna says, we were all different in the past, now in the future also. So therefore, if a person who is doing all this is taking tremendous troubles to understand the scriptures from the Mayavad point of view, and there he finds that just besides him, Shishupal is also enjoying. So somebody wonder, why we take the trouble of loving Krishna or loving the Bhagavad Gita? In fact, if you can achieve the same thing by hating, all your troubles are not worth it. So therefore, Krishna actually is very kind. In fact, there was one demoness called Putana. She came to kill him by giving her milk, but she had applied poison. So when Krishna, he tried to suck milk from her breast, he sucked the poison first, then the milk with the poison, and then he also sucked out her life air. But because he sucked out her life air, he gave her a position, that of a servant of Yashoda in the spiritual kingdom. She became a nurse, Dhatri. So actually one wonders, if Krishna is so merciful that he can give such a position to someone who is going to kill him, Pundarika Vidyanidhi, he actually was not a typical devotee, in the sense he was very rich. He was living in a very, very opulent background, opulent residence. He used to have so many servants. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day told Gadadhar Pandit and another devotee called Mukunda that you go and just introduce this Gadadhar Pandit to this devotee. So he thought maybe this devotee, because his Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a big sannyasi, in fact he was a very strict sannyasi, so he must also be a very strict devotee. As they entered the house, he saw everywhere just fabulously opulent surroundings, nicely carpeted rooms, nice furniture, so many servants running here and there, and his Pundarika Vidyanidhi was sitting and he was enjoying the dance performed by some dancing girls. So he said, what kind of devotee is this? And then this Mukunda, he started to pronounce this shloka from the Bhagavatam, which describes how Putana tried to kill Krishna and Krishna gave her this supreme position as his nurse. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam. This is the verse which is in the Bhagavatam. And as soon as he repeated this verse, this Pundarika Vidyanidhi, he was lost completely in God consciousness. He became so merged in Krishna's in remembering about Krishna, that he immediately started foaming at his mouth. He started tearing away the cloths. He started smashing all the pots. And then Gadadhar Pandit said, "Oh, actually he's a very great devotee. I actually made a mistake. You cannot understand a Vaishnava just by his surroundings, just by seeing his external behavior." So immediately he fell at his feet. He said, "I am sorry. I actually made a offense at your lotus feet." Anyway, the point is, always we have to understand that because now we are covered by this ignorance, doesn't mean that when the ignorance is removed, we are all a single unified entity. We always retain our individuality. If individuality were not a fact, like someone says, this individuality mentioned here is not spiritual but material. But just in the previous verse, which is the 11th verse, Krishna says, "Ashochan anvashochastvam prajnyavadamsha bhashase gatasun agatasuncha nanu shochandi pandita." Krishna says, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. What is not worthy of grief? This material body. What is worthy of grief? The living entity, the spirit soul. The body is going to die anyway. In fact, the body is already dead. The body is already going to be changed. It is changing every moment. But what is the destination of the soul? That is very important. So, if Krishna is saying, this is not worthy of grief, and in the very next shloka, he is saying that this individuality is material, that contradicts himself. And if you consider Krishna to be a very great personality, in fact, all over India, in fact, there is a person who has made this Krishna comics. He says, "I have made this comic popular all over the world. So many millions have been sold." But they are sold under what heading? Indian mythology. So, the all over the world scholars say, this Krishna myth is very fascinating. If Krishna is a myth, why do you think a person like Vyasadev would take so much trouble to write all his pastimes? Was he a fool? Why did so many scholars spend their lifetimes reading this Bhagavad Gita? It is because, as Krishna says, mayaya aparita jnana. This external potency of Krishna, maya, steals away the knowledge. Prabhupada used to say, these are all fools and rascals, asses, mudha, namam dushkritano mudha. If anyone says Krishna is ordinary, we have to take that person is a fool. Not just a fool number one. Krishna just cannot be like you and me. But it takes a bit of pious activity. Krishna says, "Yesham tvandagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanda moha nirmukta bhajate mam dridavrataha." Unless your sinful reactions are eradicated, you don't engage in my devotional service with determination. So, we find so many big acharyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, even Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya is the propounder of this Mayavad, but he himself is a staunch devotee. Mayavad, or everything is one, everything was one, will become one in the future, was actually a kind of medicine which was propounded just for that time period. It is not applicable now. Another very classical example which is given is, a person with squinted vision, or what is called astigmatism, a person with that kind of disease, he sees everything as two. In fact, one object he will perceive as two because his vision is, there is a disease. So this philosopher say, because we have this kind of disease, we see everything as 2, 3, 4, 100,000 crores, like that, everything different, individual. If you correct your vision, you will find that everything is one. Just like if I see this object, I know it's one. But with a person of that disease vision, you will think this is two. So when we have this ignorance, we think there is variety. When ignorance is gone, there is no variety. But this is false. Krishna is all perfect. If you think Krishna is just a big personality or just a big king, then this Bhagavad Gita is useless. It completely loses its value. If one person is conditioned and the person to whom he is giving knowledge, he also is conditioned, then what is the use of the dialogue? If a person who is giving guidance, he is also a patient, and the person who is taking guidance, he also is a patient. So what is the use of the dialogue? We have to have at least one person who is completely cured and he knows the remedy of the disease. Only then he can give some instruction which can be followed, which is worthwhile. Therefore, here we find Krishna affirms his individuality in the past, confirms his individuality in the future also. He has confirmed his individuality in many ways. And actually the impersonal Brahman has been declared to be subordinate to him. Krishna has maintained spiritual individuality all along. If he is accepted as an ordinary conditioned soul in individual consciousness, then his Bhagavad Gita has no value as authoritative scripture. It is said, a common man has four kinds of defects. Everyone has at least four defects. The first defect is, we have imperfect senses. Whatever we have, we see through our senses, we perceive through our senses, and these senses are imperfect. When the senses are imperfect, you have a tendency to be illusioned. You fall into illusion. And when you are in illusion, you commit mistakes. That is the third defect. But because you are conditioned, because you want to lord over material nature, to cover all these three defects, you cheat. Just like some scientists may say, life evolved from chemicals. But if they are given all the chemicals and asked, can you make life again? They can't. If you see through your eyes only, the sun appears to be no more bigger than a small coin. But is the sun that size? In fact, the sun is thousands and thousands of times bigger than the earth. So, your eyes deceive you. Your eyes don't give you real knowledge. Your eyes don't convey information as it is. So, senses are imperfect. You are illusioned. Whatever inference you derive from that depends on the first defect. So, you come under illusion, you make mistakes. But still you say, no, I am right. I think this is like this or is it like that. So, somebody who has four defects, he cannot give real knowledge. And if you accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to be above four defects. So, therefore, this Bhagavad Gita is something which is above four defects. And a person who doesn't have this devotion towards Krishna, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, used to say, his attempt to read the Bhagavad Gita is like the attempt of a bee, a bumblebee, to taste honey which is in the bottle by licking the outside wall of the bottle. If there is a bottle of honey and the lid is closed, and if a bee tries to lick the wall, the outer wall of the bottle, how can it taste what honey is? Similarly, there are many big scholars of Bhagavad Gita. There are persons who can recite the whole Bhagavad Gita from beginning to end, from end to beginning. But all their attempts are doomed to failure because they don't accept Krishna as supreme. They don't assert that they are individuals in the past, they will be individuals in the future. And the supreme goal of life is to serve Krishna, as Arjuna is doing. So therefore, The Mayavadi explanation of the Gita is the most misleading presentation of the whole truth. Lord Chaitanya has forbidden us to read commendations made by the Mayavadis and warns, one who takes to such an understanding of the Mayavadi philosophy loses all power to understand the real mystery of the Gita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, Mayavadi Krishna Paradhi. Mayavadi Bhashya Shunyile Hoye Sarvanash. One is doomed. If individuality refers to the empirical universe, there is no need of teaching by the Lord. The plurality of the individual soul and of the Lord is an eternal fact. And it is confirmed by the Vedas as is mentioned in this verse. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Hare Krishna. If somebody has any questions, you can please ask. Or we'll have some kirtan again.
Of the five types of mukti which you explained, I just wanted to confirm, clarify, the other four types, when one attains that mukti, we go into the either one of the spiritual planets. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And the sayaja mukti, when one goes in, which the bhakts don't, the devotees of Krishna don't want to ever have that kind of mukti. When one achieves that kind of mukti, do we fall back into the material world?
Yes. Because you don't have that devotional attitude. So the Bhagavad Puran confirms this. Ye anye arvindaksha vimukta maninas tvayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhaya aruya krichrena parampadam tata patanti adho anadrita yushmadangraya. The Bhagavad confirms, one who is averse to serving the lotus feet of the Lord, he thinks of himself as being liberated. Vimukta maninas. Tvayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhaya. His intelligence is polluted, contaminated. So, aruya, by elevating himself, krishrena, by undertaking various very tough austerities, sacrifices and penances, aruya krishrena parampadam. If he can reach that supreme destination, patanti adha, he falls down. Why? Anadrita yushmad angrayaha. Because he has not served your lotus feet. So, this kind of mukti is not eternal. Because of contaminated intelligence, you again come back into this material universe. Because, if for example, somebody is serving Sita Ram or Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan, he is thinking, Narayan is my Lord, my father, and Lakshmi is my mother. Because Lakshmi Narayan are husband and wife. So if Narayan is your father, Lakshmi is your mother. In fact, in India, thousands and thousands of people do Lakshmi Puja. They say Lakshmi Mate. If Lakshmi is your mata, Narayan is your pita. But if after undergoing all this Vedic knowledge and everything, you want to become Narayan. You want to become one with Narayan. So who is Lakshmi then? So you actually want to exploit your own mother. This is a very, very degraded kind of intelligence. This is what is said, avishuddha buddhaya. And this can never be allowed. Those who are after this kind of Lakshmi, they enjoy this maya potency. That is not real enjoyment. So therefore, we have to be very careful. We have to understand what we are doing. This kind of oneness is a false identification with the Lord on the part of the living entity. He actually cannot become one with the Lord. If you accept that somebody, as the river flows in the sea, the water becomes the sea water. What happens after evaporation? Again the water goes up, again it goes somewhere else. So this is not, so one who goes in the sea, he doesn't remain with the sea. Again he goes up, again he comes down, again he goes up, again he comes down. So it is not eternal. The other forms of liberations can be accepted by Vaishnavas. but they never accept the first one as mukti. It is nothing but self-annihilation, suicide.